Alright, so we looked at the word study, and we were able to appraise that means to be eager, right? We have to study means, is what put us on the Greek, S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. It means to be eager. It's not, doesn't mean reading or researching, as it were. And that has been the root of many error, or many people actually, they feel, when the Bible says study to show yourself, and say, go and study to know God yourself. No. Again, it will not be misrepresented, as it were. Imagine, I just come here and I give a text of the Bible and I say, hope, you know, you find the meaning of that text of the Bible in your head, as God is showing you. Oh well, you come, you also find the meaning of the word in your head, as God is showing you anyhow, and tell your seed, and Deborah. Alright, so, four of you come on Sunday, and I can fetch you, you will hear wonders. Hallelujah. I used to have some friends, you know, when we were interpreting the Bible. No, it has been a long time ago. You know, is it to interpret semicolon? Can you see that you use semicolon, not full stop? That means, now, if you had used full stop, in the evening, just shut up. Hallelujah. You know, Bible study is more than Hebrew and Greek, and it's more than full stop, and italics. Praise God. And so when it says study to yourself, it's actually being eager to be taught. It's actually being eager. Hallelujah. And so, again, you can't leave every Christian to study themselves, to study for themselves. That never happened in the book of Acts. Everybody that got saved was taught doctrine. Acts 2:42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship of the word and the prayers. Hallelujah. Breaking of bread. Acts 2:42. So you are to continue in what is taught. What was the apostles' doctrine? It was what Jesus taught them. That makes sense? That makes sense? And so when you say people get saved and then they should go and know God, have you seen people tell God that because we are in the social media era? You say, know God for yourself. Don't let any pastor deceive you. The truth is, if we have people who are deceiving people, that can be true. That can be true. Alright, so again. When you say study to show yourself approved, it's actually being eager to be taught, being eager to be shown God's word, being eager to also teach the same. So it says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rather than the word of truth. We've explained this in the first three tracks that we have gone through. Three, right? Or two? So again, let me just brush up. We've explained, the two kinds of baptism, as it were. Oftentimes when you, of course, study to show yourself approved unto God. Again, it says rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing means to explain, actually. You just want to put it in one word. Rightly dividing does not mean you are splitting the Bible. Obviously, rightly dividing. I like that by pastor. It breaks down the word. It breaks it down. Obviously, when it breaks something down, you are eating a word that has been broken down. Hallelujah. Sound doctrine is old. It's called awesome doctrine. You don't break it down. Hallelujah. He rightly divides. And then we think rightly divide it means someone is doing his hand like this. As he's preaching, something like that. It's so. The word. And so he says rightly divide. Rightly divide means to explain. We've explained it. It means it's what you use for surgeons. The way they bring out a baby, as it were, from the womb. You know, they don't want to damage whatever they are doing. So imagine a cesarean section. They are going to carefully cut, right? And so the approach of every Bible student must be to be careful. And so Bible texts are not to be taken with levity. They are not things that you just take and then you start using it for whatever comes to your head first. You say, as you know, they said, you are God on earth. And then you just speak that and say, I'm a God. I'm a God. Nothing faces me. I call the shots. I dictate the move. I'm a God. The Bible says, I'm a God on earth. You need to find out what baby is saying. You need to find out. Hallelujah. You need to find out. Someone said, I will not die but live to declare the glory of God. And he died. You need to find out who was he talking about because he died. How about that? And so, there are some things you don't, I remember when I was younger, I'm still very young, when I was younger, some of you are even very older than me. I was way younger. When I went to school, my mom would start putting psalms. Start putting different psalms on your head. There's no, you know, no book. Because every morning, I mean, she had that attitude. And that's, it's a good one, I think. No, as you go to school every morning, you bend your head. You know, you'll be better than all your classmates. I was not thinking at the point. I actually thought about it that if every parent was praying like this, who would be better than who now? You know, you're better than all your classmates. Nobody will reach you. Amen. If you don't say amen, it's slap. You know, but then she used to go to the whole of Psalms. The whole of Psalms that had nothing to do with me, had nothing to do with her, had nothing to do with David that said it. Hallelujah. And so you must find out scripture. So when it says rightly dividing is an approach. It's actually an attitude towards Bible teaching. It's an attitude. You must rightly divide. It's an attitude. And so when you pick up the Bible, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, you must what? It's for doctrine. Say doctrine. So when you pick up the Bible, it's for doctrine. It's for doctrine. Again, when it says for doctrine, it means for explanation. So when you handle the Bible is meant to be explained. And so, in the course of explanation, a whole lot of things will change because you must be ready to unlearn. I've always said that you must not be scared of what the Bible will say. Sometimes you have learned some things as a child. You must have learned something while growing up, and then someone comes and then challenges that thought. And then oftentimes our attitude is to say, it's a lie. Heresy. I'm not going to fall into heresy. Error. We don't know who is even who these days. You know? Why? Because you are scared of what that interpretation will do to your experience. You are scared of what that interpretation will do to the things you have known. For example, many people grew up to think that Eve was literally stepped by the serpent, and that's why some people still hate snakes, and some people still hate cats, because they believe cats are evil. I don't believe that, don't lie. That cats are evil. Emotions. Put it away. But because of their nature, you know, they have a way of saying they are evil. And the eyes see something in the night, and the eyes is shining. And then it's going, and the body is going like this, peep. And it's like, meow, meow, by a window. You say, every witch. Every, no weapon function in this. Okay, so you must not be scared of the outcome of Bible interpretation. Again, let me say this. While the Bible is being rightly divided, while the Word of God is being, while the Scriptures are being explained, a whole lot will confront what you already believe. There are some things that are traditional. Traditional means it has been passed from one generation to the other without finding out if it is true. Hallelujah. Something like generational curse, yeah? It has been so passed down that there's something called generational curse. Someone say, are you not saying there's no generational curse? I'm saying that, yeah. And if you're in Christ Jesus, what's the generational curse? Hey! If your family is an idol worshipper, or your family is an idol worshipper, there are some things they would have done with the gods. You think Jesus' family were not idol worshippers? Go and check. Check the lineage. Matthew 1. Go and read. And go and find out those people in the Old Testament. And find out how many gods they already have. From Philistine, from everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you know, see, there's no, if you want the course now, nah? I can't challenge you. How about deliverance? Which one? That's the question. Is it the one the Bible says we have been delivered? Or the one you still want to go for next week? Yeah, it's because you have not seen demon. Are you kidding me? We should not be boasting about demon, you. Are you kidding me? On Facebook, someone reminded me of an encounter we had in a village in 2014. And I laughed because it was really funny. I have not told you. I was laughing because it was so, so dark. Very dark experience. Very, very dark. You know? And many people are terrified. That's what actually made me laugh. I remember a particular brother that ran away from the village. Because we were threatened. We were threatened that the next day, that what we see, I think the verse said that he promises that half of us will be burned the next day. And when the person that is threatening you, you can see that
He's old, you know. He has cameras somewhere tied to his head. And then he doesn't wear shoe. That's what they said. He doesn't wear shoe in that village. And he was promising us, he said, by tomorrow. He said, look at the time. He was using the moon, the setting of the sun. He said, oh, don't worry. That this time tomorrow, that half of us will be gone. You know, many brothers actually ran away in midnight. We didn't know. We just woke up not to see some people, so we thought they were gone already. You are now calling us from town. Say, bro, are you still there? What has happened now? And that was actually what made me laugh when the person was writing me on Facebook. But really, we've had a lot of experience like that. So do I know that there are demons? Yes, very well. I've taught to cast now demons like 2 times or 3 times now. Hallelujah. And so, what am I saying? There are some things in Bible teaching that will challenge your beliefs, even though it's traditional. Where is it written in the Bible that you close your eyes when you are praying? Am I saying you should not close your eyes? I'm not saying that, obviously. But there's no way it's written. It's just traditional. People just taught you so that probably you can focus. Well, some people, as they are closing their eyes, they have lost focus. They are ready to do a letter, closing their eyes. I mean, some people, they are going to have it. He's seeing someone else. He's not seeing the Lord. I don't think he's just seeing vision. He has gone somewhere else. Some people are cooking soup right in church by closing their eyes. And so, closing of your eyes. You can't close your eyes for prayer rally, for example. You say you want to pray, so you close your eyes for prayer rally. Prayer rally is when we pray 12 hours. You can't close your eyes. Close your eyes, you turn blind now. Or you just be eating people. Everybody will just be eating themselves. Look at the sorry, proper. They go to my shield. Until you eat your head on stone. Or on a pillar. Hallelujah. There's no way it's written. And so there are some things that will be taught that might actually challenge the things you already knew. Hallelujah. Are you doing? Come on, are you with me? There's no way it's written in the Bible that churches should meet on Sunday morning. It's not written anywhere. It's not written anywhere. Can't you meet in the afternoon? Can't you meet in the evening? It's just people come together, okay, the government then declared, okay, Sunday, work free day. Then the church says, okay, since it's work free, right? Let us make use of it. It's simple. If you go to Saudi Arabia, the churches meet there on Friday because Friday is the work-free day. And so they go to work on Sunday. How about that? And so, there's no way in the Bible that it's written that you go to church on Sunday. Now, don't say, I'm not going to church on Sunday. It's Friday, I like. The church already meets on Sunday. Hallelujah. And so, you need to find that. So it says, rightly divided. So in Anglican traditions, we have the scriptural license to examine truths. We need to examine. If we don't explain things, so oftentimes when people see that we're explaining Bible truths like this, especially when it comes to baptism and all of the rest, they feel that you want to just cause wahala in the body of Christ. You just want to cause trouble. Someone cannot just sit down and say trouble is what he wants to be causing. Hallelujah. Any pastor that does that doesn't have job. I mean, he's just looking for something. Say, what are people not talking about? I'm not giving to each ears. I'm not giving to what you want to hear. You should have known that by now. Hallelujah. And so, we ought to examine truth. The fact that something has been long believed does not make it true. Again, we have the issue of the communion. I saw a joke on Instagram. It's funny, but don't say, how many do I have to eat to finish the body of Christ? That because it's not infinity. I just passed by it. Hallelujah. Say, how many do I have to eat? I just want to eat it once. but well, the truth is, it should be explained. How do I partake of the body of Christ? That's the truth. Whatever is not explained is subject to error. I cannot just swallow everything that you give to me. Whatever is not explained is subject to error. That means error can creep in. The devil has brought in some strange doctrines even into the church. Why? Because we choose not to explain them. We put them as sacred. But there's nothing sacred that cannot be explained. As it were. The promise of the New Testament is knowledge. They will all know me. From the least to the greatest. They will all what? Know me. So, the promise of the New Testament is knowledge. And so, Paul says, you rightly divide. Again, we have been able to look at the issue of water and baptism. And the first thing we said that when in your head, remove what from baptism? Water. Why? Baptism is just an English word. Actually, it can be anything. There was baptism by fire in the Bible, Matthew 3:11, right? I baptize you with water, but there is someone that is coming after me who baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That means there is baptism by Holy Ghost, and there is baptism by fire. And so, baptism, when you see it, does not just mean water. It can be used for many things. It's used for death. It's used for identification. When you are following someone, it can be, when you are so used to following someone, it can be used for that you are identified in that person, right? Like the way Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3. Our fathers were identified in Moses. You know, they are baptized in the clouds and in the sea. Hallelujah. And so, you need to know, what is he talking about? Are you with me? And so, baptism is not a generic word. It is contextual. It is contextual. You have to find out what is he saying. When I say, be baptized, I need to ask, with what? Right? Is it with the Holy Ghost? Is it with water? Is it with death? Are you saying I should just be washed? Right? And we looked at the fact that Jesus was also baptized with water, right? Don't say, exactly. Whatever my Lord has done, me, I will do it too. Then you have to die too. And I know you died with him and you are risen. No, you have to do it again. The real one. Who put you on the cross? No identification. Hallelujah. Jesus was baptized. But did Jesus baptize anybody? Jesus never baptized anyone. His disciples did. Paul also baptized people. Peter baptized. We've seen that. But we checked Paul's disclaimer on baptism, right? In 1 Corinthians 1. I need to go to my notes now. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. Where Paul said, I thank my God that I didn't baptize many of you, right? Save Gaius, and those of the household of, getting that, Stephanas, Gaius, and mentioned some other people. Response. Alright. Again, Paul gave his schema and said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? To preach the gospel. Again, is water baptism wrong? No. Can I be water baptized? I've always said it, that I don't have an issue with what you do with what? Water. It's your body. You can jump in the swimming pool and be shouting in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and be baptized for 3 hours. And you come out, and you go back again, be baptized again. I have no issue with it. But you know the issue we have? The issue we have is saying that anyone who is not water baptized is not saved. Is an issue. It's not an issue now. Am I not what I said? Is it you? Oga, the moment you use the Bible, it has become our issue. I don't have an issue with what you say in your church. If you like to say, in this church, everybody must wear short sneaker. That's what the Bible says. No, don't say that's what the Bible says. Everybody must wear short sneaker. I'm the one that say it. I'm your pastor. Everybody must wear short sneaker. No scarf in this church. Everybody must use earring. Male, female, earring. Good. Nobody's going to. But the moment you say the Bible says that every male and female must wear earring, or God will call you. It has become a public document. It's an article of our faith. We will address it. If we don't address it, listen very well. Most of the errors we have, all this feet washing and the rest, were because a generation refused to address it. I believe, and in coming years, we have much more grandfathers who are rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, we have much more grandpas who will be teaching your grandkids. And they will say, no, look at the Greek word for that. No, that's not to explain the Bible. No, of course, we don't have much of that now. Hallelujah. We have much of parents who will not tell you, just believe it, in Bible. My mom, you ask me a question in Bible, what concern you? What concern you? They ask you to, all these questions you are asking, is only child of the devil that used to ask this kind of question. Because she never knew the answers. I'm glad she taught me the way she taught. Oh, of course, I wasn't happy then when she was taking me to all those prayer mountains and revivals and Bible studies. But I'm glad now, hallelujah. But don't say, she didn't have the answers. I believe she was one that even worked on my being inquisitive. I used to be very inquisitive. I didn't have that much, like our last born. Now, for everything, as she was going up, for everything you do, say, why did you do it? So we got used to it. We used to run away from her. So before you do anything, just run away. She would ask. I used to ask, why are we going to church again? Because I loved sitting down on Sunday morning and watching Mount Zion movies. No, we don't even have that again. BCOS, Broadcasting Commission of Oyo State, they will show Mount Zion movie in the morning. What's the best time? There's no school. Come on. Hallelujah. So I asked, why do we go to church? Why do we pray? Sometimes you just say, we are fasting. You and who? You just told you something. Just let it be you. Why do you have to include me? You God did not tell me. But I had a lot of questions that were not answered to. Why? Because a particular generation refused to explain it. They refused to explain it. And so, when a truth is not explained, a generation will suffer it. And so, when you say baptism by water, is it a prerequisite for salvation? Come on, is it a prerequisite for salvation? No. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whosoever believes not will be damned. And many have used that and said, that means, if you are not baptized with water, you will not be saved. That's wrong. We explain that, right? Mark 16:15, right? Because we say, whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Then it says, whosoever believes not, and he mentioned baptism. So the question I need to ask is, which one do I need to do? Believe the gospel or be baptized with water? Or do I need to do both? If you say both, were there people in the Bible that were not baptized yet they were saved? Eh? Come on, was there? Exactly. We ran through the sermons in the book of Acts, right? Come on, we ran through the sermons in the book of Acts, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 5, Acts 8, Acts 10. Then we looked at the conversation in Acts 15, Acts 19, right? Where people were saved, and we saw that it was a mixture, right? But come on. Alright, so again, it was a mixture of both. There are points, there are times where people were saved and they were baptized in the water. There are times where people were saved and baptism in the water was never mentioned, right? Come on. Was that true? So probably you need to listen. If you have not listened to the first two tracks, you need to go and do that. Again, we saw Peter's explanation in 1 Peter 3. Let's look at that again. Before that, talk about 1 Peter 3. But before that, we saw that John said something in Matthew 3:11. Where he said, I am come to baptize with what? With water. But there is someone that is come after me that will baptize you with what? With what? With the Holy Ghost. That's what John said, Matthew 3:11. Jesus quoted the same thing in Acts 1:5. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 5. And we saw Jesus said, I will baptize you with what? Eh? Who said water again? Eh? With the Holy Ghost. Not many days from now, you baptize with the Holy Ghost. So, what does Jesus baptize with? I don't get that very well. What does Jesus baptize with? Who baptized with water? Eh? Whose baptism was water? Why did he do it? Eh? It's called the baptism of what? Repentance. What's repentance? To turn your hearts. So, John baptizing water was to turn your hearts to what? No, say to Christ. Was to turn their heart to what? To the baptism by the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. So, whoever comes to him, he will tell you, I'm baptizing with water. But you need to baptize with the Holy Ghost. And so, you need to pitch your tent wisely. Are you pitching your tent with John the Baptist, which I believe he doesn't like to be called that, or Jesus? If you are with Jesus, then what does he baptize with?
The Holy Ghost.
Again, is there anything wrong to baptize with water? I myself have been baptized with water. My baptismal name. It's funny. Yes. I didn't want to die. So when he asked me, what's your baptismal name? I just blew my water. I said, Enoch. Two things came to my mind. Pastor Iyadeboye and Enoch that he never died. Who wants to die? And this is a proper time to rename myself. And so I just said, oh, be your English, your Christian name. I said, Enoch. Good name. I said, thank you. Hallelujah. Alright? Don't call me Enoch. I will mean Enoch, I will knock you. Alright, so again, there is no issue with what to do with water. But don't stand on the grounds that whosoever is not baptized with water is not saved. And also don't stand that all people need to do is to be baptized with water. Again, it's a wrong doctrine to think that when you sprinkle water on people, they are saved. If we go to hell, you are pushing him on the way to hell. But if that is free, sprinkling people water or pushing them inside water does not mean they are saved. What does a man need to do to be saved? So you are saying that you are not sure. He wants what? To believe the gospel. Romans 10:8-10. You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Matthew 28:18-20. You have to believe in the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the message of the sacrifice of Jesus for sin. It is what the Lord did concerning sin. And so I have to believe that what he did for me. How do I do that? I believe that when he died for my sin. What is my sin? I'm away from the life of God. I have not received what God offers. Right? Right? Because the law has condemned everybody to be under what? Sin. And so, I accept that sacrifice that when he died for my sin. And when he rose again, he rose for what? My justification. Romans 4:25. That is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You have to believe how that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. And so when I believe the gospel, it says I will have what? Eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That is what? So the giving, is it the incarnation? It's not the incarnation. The giving is that sacrifice of Jesus. That he gave him to die. Not the incarnation. I've seen people put that for Christmas. But God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for us. That whosoever believes in what he did would not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that make sense? And so, what does it take to have eternal life? To believe. Not to be baptized. It's sheer error to think that the moment you are immersed in water, you have been saved. What has water done to you? Nothing. Because the spirit of man is the object of eternal life. So if the spirit of man is the object of eternal life, so whatever we want to take the spirit cannot be what gets a man saved. Sorry, guys, when you are immersed into water, does the water get past your body? Now open that 1 Peter 3. Now let's see. 1 Peter 3. Tell me verse 20. Can we verse 20 together, everybody? Oh, yeah. Want to go, everybody? Want to go? Of Lord willing, in times. Alright. So, 8 souls were saved by what? Water. What's that? Is it baptism or what's the water? How are we saved by water? They were in the ark. That's how they were saved by water. Because they were floating. Not that. But people were literally saved by water in the days of Noah. Literally. They were destroyed by water. Alright. Just kidding. Alright. So, let's read verse 21 now. Please read everybody. Want to go? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wait. It says the like figure. So he's bringing up the waters of Noah and says the like figure. The word figure I've explained to you in the Greek as a tupon, A-N-T-I-T-U-P-O-N, or as a tupos. Antitupon or antitupos, anyone in the Greek. So it says the figure. When you say figure, whenever you use figure, that means there's a reality. There's a reality. For example, you give someone, listen, you want 2 million naira. And then have you seen people, they now give them one big stuff to hold like this. Is that the money? That's it. That's what is 2 million naira as given back. Is that the money? If they give you that one, and they be going, no. Oh, guys, now, half an hour. I just be down for a picture now. you don't see because people are waiting to. Anyone can design that and print it out. And say, I want 5 million naira. The real thing will not even be in your hand. It's going to account, right? And so that's a figure. It's an answer to porn. There's a real deal. There's a reality. And so when you say, water is a like figure, that is, it's a type. It's not it. That's not what will save us. It's a life figure. That is what happened in the times of Noah when the 8 souls were rescued is an example of what will happen to every man that receives the gospel. What was Noah preaching? Explaining God in Christ. What was Noah preaching? He was preaching what he found about God. His discovery about God was his message. The grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? This isn't just saying God in Christ for that. Alright, so Noah preached the grace of God, and everybody that received his message and his good idea, they got into the ark. Apparently, it was only his family members. Whether righteously or unrighteously, they have to follow their dad. But some children will have in disobedience, yeah. Hallelujah. And so, he said, just that way that people were saved because they listened to the message of Noah. He says, it's a figure. It's a figure. It's a type of how people will be saved when they believe the gospel. So, he calls it an antitupon. So, he says, a figure. Where does baptism now save us? So, someone stop there. The error of baptism will be to stop there. And I said, can you see? I don't know that's how you are preaching this church. See what the Bible says. Baptism now what? You know what? He saves us. We are baptized. Don't let any man of God deceive you. Are you with shining eyes? I don't believe there's any church. Let me hope. And people, they say that in the spirit of being woke. And being, you know, you're in town. I don't believe there's any church. I don't believe there's anything called church. Or man of God. And you know, all those things, pastor. And, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in all of that, man. Think. Be intelligent. Oftentimes people always misinterpret that any atheist is intelligent. I've seen intelligent ones and I've seen very foolish ones. I said, you are not even qualified to be an atheist. Don't read your Bible. I'm an atheist. Don't read your Bible. You are just hungry. You die if I give you 1 million, you say, thank you, Jesus. Is that what atheist? Like, if I give 1 million, I say, Oh, Jesus, Baba. You know, amazing that you reach your leg on stone and say, my God. it has not gotten in. Don't convince you that any of this is intelligent. The first thing is to think he's not intelligent now. The moment you are wise as opposed to the wisdom of God, you are the most foolish person. You have to find your wisdom in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So, I don't believe in baptism now saves. Is that what it? Yeah, let's read on. So let's start from the beginning. Verse 21. Anybody want to go? It says, not of the what? The removal of what? Of the field of the flesh. Again, who has another version? Not KJV. The removal of death from the body. So he's saying, there are two kinds of baptism. That's Peter. He says, there are two kinds of baptism. He says, there's one that is not. He said, baptism saves us, right? Not the one that is removing the death of your body. Sorry, which one is that one? Are you not going to say it? Eh? Water. You know, so which baptism saves us? The answer what? Of a good conscience towards God. What did your own version say? NIV. the pledge of the precautions to God. What is an aversion? I'm teaching. So, he says, baptism saves us, then he explained the baptism that saves. What is the baptism that saves us again? Eh? The same yes to the resurrection. So when I said yes to that, Jesus rose from the dead and he rose for me. That is the baptism that saves. So there are two kinds of baptism. There's one that takes away the death of the flesh. Apparently, Peter already knew more this time. Because this same Peter baptized people. In fact, in the house of Cornelius, after they got saved, and they were already speaking in tongues and prophesying, Peter says, you have to come and be baptized. Of course, he didn't want to go there in the first place. You know? He had to have a vision. He had to have a vision to go there. And in the vision, he saw beasts going up and down. Again, we have two kinds of baptism. Let's do that. Two kinds of baptism, right? Sorry, where are they? Number one? Eh? The one that deals with the removal of the flesh, and the one that what? I'm just hearing this one thing. The one that removes the death of the flesh. And what? The answer of a good conscience by what? The resurrection. And we saw that whatever will affect the spirit of a man must get into his spirit. Which of the two will get into man's spirit? Water or the resurrection? And so, how does a man get baptized truly? Huh? How can I get baptized, the real baptism, that would give me eternal life? Eh? I believe in the resurrection. Sorry. Is it I just believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Is that the... Because we need to pinpoint it again. Salvation came faith this year. I want to explore what it means to be saved. How to be saved. We'll go back to it. Is it I just believe that he rose from the dead? Eh? That doesn't believe that there's a Jesus that died and he rose from the dead. Eh? Is that what saves? What saves? That he died for sin, right? And I believe that his sacrifice was for me. So, it's more than just a story. It has now become what I went through. It has now become what I have accepted as mine. We will explore that again much more this year. So that we don't have fake converts. As it were. I got that from the palace. Unconverted converts. You know that before? I got one brother. I didn't follow up. He was telling me, sir, that brother we just finished, he's an unconverted convert. That was the first time in my life I was hearing the unconverted convert. Why did he not call him a convert? Hallelujah. So that's two kinds of baptisms. Again, is it wrong to be water baptized? As long as, eh? Be saved first. If I'm saved by the message of the gospel, do I seem to be water baptized? Eh? Some of you, you say, yeah. Huh. I don't want to say, I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. We don't have offended him, God. Again, the baptism of water deals where? Where does it stop? On the flesh. So I say, no. It's an outward demonstration of the inward belief. Then God, you have to believe. You believe first. With them, demonstrate anything. But if you are living for the outward demonstration of what you have believed, it's the gift of utterance. That's the primary way we demonstrate outwardly what is in the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not by water. How does water demonstrate that you have not believed? So, because you enter water, you believe that you have died. But he stayed there for 3 days. He was buried in the womb of the earth for 3 days. Stay there for 3 days inside water now. Then come up. They have resurrected. Are you sure that's resurrection? I'm going to swim. It's acrobatics. Hydrotherapy. Hallelujah. Alright. Again, why this message? So that you don't start to put a yoke on people. And start to think that because probably you've not gotten into water, they are not saved. It's a doctrine. I've never heard that before. That if people are not water baptized, they are not saved. Have you heard that before? Come on, MCR, you've heard that before. In fact, someone told me that where I grew up, say, if you are not even a particular age, they won't allow you to be baptized. Have you heard that before?
Hallelujah.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to be scared. When I was 8, I said, and he says it's this particular age now. If Jesus now come before I now clock 16, what would I tell him? That I was not eligible for heaven. What would you say? I said, I was not going to hear you. Jesus, just wait till I'm 16. Another 16 can. Dropped very, very fearful doctrine. When I was growing up, you know, we used to have sanctification class. When you get born again, that's not the end. We have holiness class. When you take holiness class for about a month or thereabout, then you go to sanctification class. And there are three. Yeah. You know, pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification. It's only two that you end. Three mean. I know the other one is that praying for the Holy Ghost. So, that one's like, depends on how the Holy Ghost comes to you, sir. Fast, fast. Some people, they grab the Holy Ghost. Me, I was there to grab it. But what they wanted to teach us is actually speaking in tongues. Sorry, does the Holy Ghost come after a man is saved? I know you guys are my theologians. Come on, the Holy Ghost, he came after 2 weeks. Yeah, my father, we are coming. We got the prayer of baptism of the Holy Ghost. All of them were about 21. And everybody says to me, goes, read the devil, devil. Ah, I was the only devil. Say, yeah, what will happen to be like this? After they've taught us scripture, everything, we have been praying for it for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Praying for that Sunday morning. I said, me, I will not offend the Holy Ghost. I will not say anything. I think I was 11. Or 12. So, when I got up, was it 12 or 13? I can't remember. But very early. And so, I took the notes of everything they taught us. I started going through the Bible myself. Every single verse. You know, that brother. And I went to the toilet. Because I don't want anybody to see me. And I realized the most holy place. I don't say, if you see this thing else, air straight, the sin against the Holy Ghost has no repentance. So what's the sin against the Holy Ghost? Come on. Unbelief in the gospel, you have explained that before. Say, I also want to speak it up. It's not tongue, it's not tongue, God, it's not tongue. It's not tongue. I didn't speak in tongue, so I just want to give you some normal word too. Why spoke in tongues, daddy? In the toilet. Hallelujah. And I've never stopped speaking since then. Some 19 hours, some 20 hours, some 24 hours. Hallelujah. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, you don't put a yoke on people. And say, if they are not water baptized, again, we're talking about two kinds of baptism. We've seen in the book of Acts, how the people who are preaching and they were not baptized. Why did they baptize in the book of Acts? Apparently, they were still learning. It's the same reason you ask, why did Peter kill Ananias and Sapphira? No, it's not Peter, it's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost kills. This is what you are saying. Sometimes we need to listen to ourselves. Holy Ghost killed Ananias and Sapphira. You hear people say, in the name of Jesus, die! Fall down and die! Fall down and die! And he was sweating. You know that some people, they have real problem. Real problem. How can someone just hug food? Die. Who is that? You are the one. See the way you are hugging pole. The question is, how can you say in the name of Jesus someone should die? In Matthew 1:21, the angel told Mary, he said, he will be called Jesus. He said, because he will save his people from their sin. He will save them. He is the savior. So you now say in the name of the one that will save before he die. Listen to the irony of what you are saying. The irony. In the name of the man who saves, this one should die. It will happen. Okay, but people die. Because there's a devil. Devil say, I like this church, die. Who is the next? Who should die? Now, I've been looking at him before too. And you are so your assistant devil. Jesus does not kill and doesn't call down fire. Send down fire, Holy Ghost fire, send down fire again. And you observe that people like that are never praying for ministry. It's not fire of the Holy Ghost, it's really fire of the Holy Ghost. There's a fire of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost. He says, let the fire fall. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's the loss of God. You're taking me back. There's a fire of the Holy Ghost. And that's not what you're praying for. It's another kind of fire. Two kinds of fire. You saw that one. There are two kinds of fire. Look, when James and John said they should call down fire in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And when it's called down fire from heaven, what did Jesus say? Eh? He rebukes them. He said, you don't know the spirit of whom you're of. I'm not come to call down fire. I'm come to save men. And so the same template. We see how people who think that when you are not baptized in water, you are not saved. Look at Acts 15. Acts 15 is a story that stemmed from Acts 10. What happened in Acts 10? Peter got Cornelius saved and his house. Cornelius is a Gentile. We have two nations, Gentiles and the Jews, right? The Jews are the seeming God people. These people, men of Israel. The one that had the covenant, as it were. The one that stemmed from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? So they believed that they were natural inheritors of the promise. Or natural heirs of the promise. But Cornelius is now getting saved. He's a Gentile. He's a Gentile. And so the church now called Peter and said, you know, when you face church council, have you faced church council before? Eh? Not this church. You don't even have council. You're selling down the council. You're selling down the utility directly. Myself and Angela and the brothers, we had a concert. No, it's not Angela. We had a concert in church and we didn't tell the church authority. We were so free. We just had a program. And then the girls in there said, you have to come before the church council. You need to see that day. You will think Jesus has come. Everybody says, he lashed it. We didn't break with someone. We have program. Why did you are our children, but we are going to sanction you. And so, there's a church council. And so, the church in Jerusalem did not call Peter and say, come, you need to explain what you did. Why would you get the Gentile saved? Acts 15. Then we have to start from verse 1. So I'll read through. You there? And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be what? Circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. No, the implication will go further. Except you be what? Baptized with water. Except you speak in tongues. Some of you have said that except you speak in tongues, you are not saved. I've told you before, speaking in tongues is not salvation. In fact, working miracles does not mean you are saved. Let me ask a quick question. Did Judas cast out demons? Eh? Judas, did he cast out demons? Yes, he did. Was he saved? Eh? He wasn't. He's called the son of perdition. He said he went his own way. But he casted out demons. Or he cast out demons, actually. Okay, let's leave that. Alright. So, casting out demons. Pastor, I like him more. If you just like this, everyone just fall down. The issue is that maybe because we are Africans, we like to see sometimes just make you say, in this church, no, And so, as you are coming, I just like this. Telebond, Sadaba. Oh, yeah. And he's turning on here, Say, hey, bro, Pam, it's cash spirit. That's carrying spirit. We saw one, Abby, in the office. Oh, that was on Monday. How can a pastor bring ball to church? He brought ball. If I'm a footballer, then I come on and remember. Yeah. Now, Nadi, yeah. Come on, I was falling down. And in your head, in their head, all the, and your friends like that, what they are saying is demonstration of the spirit. It can be funny, but it wasn't funny to me. I had to rewatch it again. Ah, maybe they are joking. I had to rewatch it. You need to see heads, thousands of heads. And they're laughing. They say, ooh, yeah, like, that the spirit is truly here because of your pastor doing someone and he's falling under power. I said, if you touch this line, go. Hey, what's that? What's that rubbish? Which one? When is your show power? That there's power here. It's a bad, bad charismatic attitude. So just want to show that there's power. The gifts of the Holy Ghost are not for show. They are not for TV show. We never see us do it here. Sit down my chair. As a man of God, he sat on the man of God's chair. Oh, I was you. What's there? You are not knowing why you are falling. Me, I will tell you, why are you falling? Why are you falling? You don't know why you are falling. Even when hands are laid on you, I've told you that you're not always to respond, right? To lay on hands. I've taught that before. Sometimes you fall under the power, sometimes you pray. Sometimes your hands are laid on you, and you're just praying. That time has been laid on you, you are rejoicing. How about that? Yeah. And as I'm going downstairs. Yeah. And then they go, if I want you, you will come back. There is no spirit using you, you are using spirit. Otimoti, you are not using spirit. Spirit is not using you. See, you just carry spirit. So you're showing power. But the gospel is as simple as I believe the message. And that's the power. It's just as simple as that. And so, these guys who are trying to complicate it, Acts 15. Except a man be circumcised after the manner of Moses, he can't be saved. When they were Paul and Barnabas, verse 2, had no small disputation with them. That is, they stood their ground. Paul and Barnabas said, no, that can't be possible. Again, these are men that will stand for the word for a generation. Hallelujah. And certain other of them that should go up to Jesus and the apostles about this question. Verse 3. And being brought on their way to the church. By the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to the brethren. Verse 4. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders and declared all things that God has done with them. But there arose a certain sect of Pharisees, we believe, saying that it was needful to circumcise them after the manner, to command them to keep the law of Moses. So, now, they are not saying the Gentiles should not be saved. They are saying, okay, you have been saved. You have done it already. Because Paul and Barnabas, the way they are taking it is with great joy. I say, but are they circumcised? That's the same thing you hear people say. See? I know you have believed. You have believed. But do you eat the bread? Do you eat the body? Which body again? Bible says when you believe the gospel, you are partaking of the body of Christ. It says you are now one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are now one with him. He now dwells in you. John 14:20-23. So what is the body again? Are you eating the body? And are you paying your balance? And they say, you are not paying your tithes. Things will be tight for you. You are not paying your tithes. You are robbing God. Shame. When you bring Jesus plus something, you are a false teacher already. What saves is Jesus alone. Can I hear Jesus alone? Come and say Jesus alone. The message of the gospel alone saves. The moment you add something to it, you are getting saved to become a false teacher. It's not Jesus plus tongues. How about that? So because I'm just criticizing tight and all, I'm bringing tongues now. Actually, I cannot criticize tongues. It's not Jesus plus tongues. In fact, it's not Jesus plus prayer. Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus fasting. It's not even Jesus plus consecration. It's Jesus alone that saves. The message of the gospel alone. And so, they said to be baptized. They said to be circumcised. Let's go on. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Verse 7. And when they had been much disputing, who rose up? Peter. It has said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, that's in chapter 10, God had made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the heart, bears them witness, giving them what? The Holy Ghost as what? That is, when a man believes the gospel, he receives the Holy Ghost, right? Then I said, see what Peter is doing? He said, you know, a good while ago, by my mouth, God ordained that the Gentiles should be saved. And they also received the Holy Ghost. That is, don't think that their own salvation is not complete. Let's go on. Verse 9. And put no difference between what? Between what? That is, there is no difference between salvation received and theirs. He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. The word purifying is the word katharizo. K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z-O. K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z-O. Listen to what it means. To wash the heart. To make clean. To wash something. So, again, how do you wash the heart of a man? Eh? By faith. God purified their heart by faith. That means faith in what? You can't just say faith. That means faith in something. Eh? Faith in what? In the gospel. So it says, the Gentiles by my mouth, they heard the gospel. And God purified their heart by faith. So in what washes a man? Eh? Faith in the gospel. Alone or with something else? Eh? Alone. Faith in the gospel alone. Faith in the gospel alone. I believe God, February, March, will take two kinds of righteousness. Faith in the gospel alone. That's what saves a man. So, again, what is the essence of wash, of the baptism by water? To purify. Right? Right? Is it to purify their heart or their body? What was the intent? To purify their hearts? Abi? That's the reason why people are getting baptized by water. Abi? But does it purify their hearts? No. So what purifies the heart? Eh? It says God, it says he purifying the heart, katharizo. He made clean the heart. So when you hear, what has washed away my sin? Not about the blood of Jesus, right? What has made me whole again? It's the blood of Jesus. And when you say blood of Jesus, it's not hemoglobin, it's not, it's still the Spirit of God. That's the blood of Jesus. Again, let's continue. Verse 10. Can we verse 10 together? So after Peter said this, he said, God has put no difference, verse 9, between us and them. What God has done is that he has purified, rather he has purified your hearts by faith. Verse 10, everybody wants to go. Now therefore, why are you tempting God? To what? To put a yoke on the neck of the disciples. This is what you call, what they call it again? They shake table, I mean whatever. Peter destroyed the table here. He says, see, God has purified their hearts by faith. They have received the message. What else? That's why are you tempting God? Tempting means, why are you asking beyond what God can do? Right? We have explained what tempt. To ask beyond the power of someone, the ability of someone. That's what I mean by tempt. So I said, why are you now tempting God? To put a yoke on the neck of the apostles, of the disciples. The word yoke is the word zogus in the Greek. Z-O-Z. For zebra. Z-O-G-U-S. Z-O-G-U-S. Interestingly, you find it in Matthew 11, 29. We explain that Matthew 11, 29, where it says, my yoke is easy. My body is light. Right? Right? I would say the word yoke I'm used for what? It's only God in Christ. Alright. Then my yoke is easy. Now, you find it in Matthew 11, 29 and 30. So when it says, why are we putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples? Obviously, the yoke we were talking about there was circumcision. Right? Right? Come on. So God's circumcision, a yoke is zogus. It's actually used for what you are learning. a training, as it were. A training. What you are going through. Again, listen very well. Do you think, when it says that we or our fathers are unable to bear, do you think Peter was talking about circumcision here? Eh? Come on, look at Acts 15:10 again. Again, what they are discussing is circumcision. Right? The removing of the foreskin of the flesh. Right? Right? That Gentiles cannot just be saved. They have to remove the foreskin. Do you think when Peter has said the yoke that we are able to bear, do you think he was talking about circumcision? Eh? Yes and no, actually. Right? He'll be talking about that circumcision, but yet he's talking about much more. You guys are just bringing different things. That if someone is saved, they still have to do this. He has, we are not able to be. He can't talk about circumcision because he has borne it already. That makes sense. So he's talking about the additions to the gospel, the inclusions to the gospel. Be saved plus. I listen, people say, if you accept, you are saved. It's not just about saved. I have to challenge someone. He said, it's not just about receiving message. You are just saying gospel, gospel, gospel. He said, let that be your time. He said, sir, that's an antichrist doctrine. Of course, it's with respect. I said, sir. Say, what do you mean by antichrist? What did Christ preach? Jesus never said this in the world. He never commanded anybody to baptize the water. Go and search again. Number two, he never commanded anybody to be tight. I say, Pastor, I don't know. Let's just stay with what you are saying. I will say everything I want to say. Jesus never, but did Jesus actually say people should speak in tongues? Eh? Did he say they will speak in tongues? Uh-huh. Did he say they will heal the sick? So where did we get our additions from? Jesus plus water. Jesus plus that. Jesus plus bread. Jesus plus circumcision. Where did we get that from? And so, Peter is standing up here. He said, how can we put a yoke? A training that is not for the disciples. He said, on the neck of the disciples. Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So obviously he's talking more than circumcision. In other words, you don't train believers with the law of Moses. You don't train believers with additions. Christ alone. Christ alone. So it's not Christ plus something. That's the challenge of the church today. People want to be saved, but they want to be saved plus something. Christ plus water. We have seen two kinds of baptism. And we have seen that the real baptism is what? Eh? Eh? The one that works on the earth. And what is that one? Is it by water? That's be spiritual. So the real baptism is spiritual. There's a physical baptism. And there's nothing wrong with that, really. You do it every day. Under the shower. All you need to do is to say the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Some people say it during Ramadan. As you put on the shower, Jesus! That's baptism. What does it mean for baptism? I got all my sons googled do you have to bath every day? Google and say, that even taking your bath every day can wash away the essential oils. He said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Uluru. The way you bath Ramadan is, semi-baptism. Put your hand. Put your hand. Put your don't touch your throat. Put your leg. Then the rest is cream and perfume. God will judge you. But some people are bold enough. Say, yeah, Jesus! Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I know, have you not been baptized like that? What does it mean in baptism? So you do it every day. You baptize every day. So now your rain falls. It's even baptism from heaven. In the rain, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that baptism? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. But does that one say, whether you like, go to a flowing river, it's still water. Water in a bottle, or be baptized in the pure water. It doesn't say it. The baptism that saves, Peter has shown us, is the one that has effect on the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, don't be deceived. The way you know a believer is not because he's baptized with water. It's not because he even speaks with tongues. There are some people that speak with tongues that you don't, I don't even know what they're saying. Yes, well, of course, I shouldn't know. See someone writing tongues. Writing tongues on Facebook. Say, Kabul Doshi, Mashai Dabo. Now you can use that one. Lakabo. Rikikibu. Sasamurabu. You are writing tongues. It's called you will speak with tongues. Can you write laughter? Whatever you write is not laughter. Say ha ha ha. It's not laughter. Laughter is to be laughed. You can't write laughter. But you know. Smiles. You can't write smiles. You can't smile. An emoji or an emoticon cannot convey smile. Except you smile, until you smile. You can't write tongues. Say, can we be sure that you're even saved? Don't go kabaya, kabaya, kabaya. You still write papaya. Not tongues justify salvation. What justifies salvation? Faith in the gospel. Have I believed in the work of redemption that Christ did? Do I believe that what he did for me? Do I identify myself in the sacrifice of Jesus? See, some people are even in world churches and they have not identified themselves with it. You've not seen yourself forgiven. You've not seen yourself as that you have risen from the dead. And that's why you still fear hell. But no, we started from there. Hallelujah. And so, what justifies or what proves salvation is nothing but the gospel. Nothing in addition. The gospel alone saves a man. Hallelujah. So let's just close on that. Again, don't forget the words of Peter. He has purified our hearts by what? By what? Come on, by what? Okay? We are studying baptism or baptize. And he said the first challenge will be to do away with water in your head. Because baptism was used for quite a lot of things. It was used for Holy Ghost. It was used for fire. Right in the book of Luke, it was used for water. So, when someone says, be baptized, you have to ask, which one? Is it water? Is it with the Holy Ghost? Is it with fire? You have to ask, which of the baptisms? Where false doctrine emanates from is that you just think that when Paul mentions baptism, he's talking about water. Again, I'll keep going back. We have two kinds of baptism. Right? One is physical and one is spiritual. Right? So which one is the real baptism? Why is it real? Eh? So, again, the baptism of water belongs to who? Eh? Who initiated it? Who started it? In fact, we looked at the Old Testament. It was never found in the Old Testament, right? Nobody baptized in water in the Old Testament. And whatever you call doctrine must be found in the Old Testament. Even when we taught resurrection from the dead, right? What happened to our bodies? We taught it from the Old Testament too, right? The book of John, when we studied the book of John, right? If you are not sleeping that time. We don't know the Old Testament. Daniel prophesied about it. Job prophesied about it. In fact, it's in Genesis. We see that very well. And so whatever you call doctrine must be found in the Old Testament. And so if nobody baptized with water in the Old Testament, then John must be aiming at something. There must be a reason why he now uses water. Water will now be his own figure. Figure of what God will do in Christ by the message of the gospel. That is, the way I'm cleansing your body, there's someone coming after you. He will cleanse your body. What he will do, what I'm doing with your body, he will do with your spirit. What I'm doing with your body, the way I'm cleansing your body with this water, that's the way he will cleanse your heart. Does it make sense? And so the baptism of water is a pointer. Like Peter said, it's a figure, an antidote. It's not the reality. It is showing what is to come. It is showing what will be. Does it make sense? And so every time you baptize someone with water in the flesh, is actually to show what Jesus will do in the spirit, right? Or to the person's spirit. What if Jesus has done to the spirit? Do I still need to show it in my body? That's useless, is not. If John had come after Jesus had raised the dead, he wouldn't have baptized with water at all. The baptism of water is for those who had not yet received the baptism of the spirit. It should show them in a matter of promise and hope that see, this is what Jesus, the Messiah, the one who will save, this is what he will do to your spirit. Your spirit will no longer be dirty. It will no longer be unclean. It shall be washed. Can you not find out why the angel will tell Peter that vision? Whatever I have called clean, don't call uncommon. Or don't call common. Don't call unclean what God has cleansed. And that's the message to still many people today. When someone is saved, what do you mean by saved? He has to believe the message of the gospel. His heart has been purified by faith. Don't call unclean because he has not been purified by faith. Or you say, Sadora is unclean. Heart is still not purified. Is that what you say? The sacrifice of Jesus has washed my hands. I'm as clean as anything. I'm as clean. I'm very, very clean. Hallelujah. Very, very clean. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Again, when a man believes the gospel, he has been cleansed. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. It is husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church. And he gave himself for the point. That is, he gave himself. When he said he gave himself, that's a sacrifice, right? Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of water by the word. Again, see the way Paul uses it. It's a play of words. Ephesians 5:26. He said he cleansed it by the washing of water. And he calls the water the what? The word. Sorry, what word? The word of his giving. I gave himself. The word of his resurrection. Is that not what Peter said? The answer of a good conscience about resurrection in Jesus. That's what washes a man. That's what washes a man. In 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 10. Please, I want you to open there. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 6. 10. Not thieves, covetous, drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Can we verse 11 together, everybody? And such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. By what? By the Spirit of God. So what is the water that justified us? The Spirit. That's what washed us. So it makes sense when Jesus said, "Let the man be born of water," that is of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is that water that washes. It cleanses true and true. Hallelujah. In Titus 3 verse 5. Titus 3 5. Let's look at that. Titus 3. That Paul says, after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards all men appear. Can we read verse 5 together? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration through the again, what's the washing of regeneration?
The real
washing. So how is a man washed? Real, real washing. Eh? What's the real baptism? Huh? The renewing of the Holy. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in the heart of a man is what cleanses it. Water does nothing. The Spirit of God in the heart of a man is what cleanses it. The question is, what if a man is water baptized and he has not received the baptism? It's just like every other man. He's in sins. What saves a man? Is the gospel. No addition, no subtraction, no multiplication, no division, no broadcasting, just the gospel. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And so when a man believes the gospel, is he saved? Is he clean? Is he clean? Purified? Justified? How about sanctified? Or does he have to attend sanctification classes? Is he sanctified? Hallelujah! Let's just bow our heads and just let's pray.